Hello there, friends, and welcome to the New Testament in a Year, a podcast that I get to read scripture to you as we read one chapter a day every weekday. And today we have made it to Matthew chapter 3. We're on day number 71 in our journey, and I'm excited about this as we've journeyed into a new gospel. Well, a new version of the gospel for Matthew. Nonetheless, if you would, please grab your Bible if you can, and listen closely if you will. Let's read God's word together. So as we journey into Matthew 3, we look back at Matthew 2, where we just saw the wise men from the east following a star to find the newborn king of the Jews, Jesus. In chapter 2, it illustrated how Jesus' birth was significant not only to the Jewish people, but also to the entire world. Herod the Great, the king of Judea, he was threatened by the birth of Jesus and sought to kill Jesus, which in turn led to the family's flight to Egypt. Now, this chapter that we read in the previous episode, chapter 2, it set the stage for Jesus' early life. It shows us that from the very beginning, his life was marked by the fulfillment of prophecy. It is marked by divinely guided protection from God. And this demonstrates God's plan for salvation, and that it extends to all nations. There's a lot in chapter 2, and it's going to build right into chapter 3, where we're going to be stepping into a new phase of Jesus' life. And as we read chapter 3, here's some things that we need to understand, and also some look fors. First of all, we're going to see John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist, he's a very key figure in this chapter. He prepares the way for Jesus by preaching in the wilderness. He calls people to repentance and emphasizes the importance of being prepared for the coming Messiah. So we're going to see John the Baptist. Look for him. Look for his call to repentance and how he differentiates his baptism from the one that Jesus is going to bring. And he's going to emphasize producing fruit in keeping with repentance. That's something we're going to see in the scripture today. And he points to how Jesus is mightier than him, and just how significant Jesus is. He does that from the very beginning. So notice John the Baptist and his message. Then look for the baptism of Jesus to occur. Watch Jesus' reasoning for being baptized, how he emphasizes righteousness. And then see what happens as a result. Watch how the heavens open, and the Spirit of God, who Scripture says is descends like a dove, which signifies God's approval, right? And his empowerment from God. And watch what the voice from heaven declares. I love that. And then finally, keep your ears peeled for the reaction of the crowd. Look how people respond differently. The Pharisees, the Sadducees. And then think about the warnings that John, the implications of the warnings that John shares to those religious leaders about relying on their heritage rather than personal faith and repentance. Check that out. So a lot of things that occur in there that we'll need to pull out. So listen for those things as we read the scripture today. Matthew chapter 3. Let's begin our reading together. We'll start in verse 1. And this is fairly short compared to the chapters we've been reading in the past few weeks. We're only going to read through 17 verses. Chapter 3, 1 through 17. Here we go. Starting in verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent, because the kingdom of heaven has come near." For he is the one spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, who said, "A voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make his path straight. Verse 4. Now John had a camel hair garment with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then people from Jerusalem and all Judea and all the vicinity of the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Therefore, produce fruit consistent with repentance. And don't presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father,' for I tell you that God is able to raise up children from Abraham from these stones. The axe is already at the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree that doesn't produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but the one who is coming after me is more powerful than I. I am not worthy to remove his sandals. He himself will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing shovel is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But the chaff he will burn with fire that never goes out." And he finishes that speech to the Pharisees and Sadducees. And now we go on to verse 13. It says this. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. But John tried to stop him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, yet you come to me?" Jesus answered him, "Allow it for now, because this is the way for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then John allowed him to be baptized. When Jesus was baptized, he went up immediately from the water. The heavens suddenly opened for him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming down on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." And that is the end of chapter 3 in Matthew. Let's take a moment to reflect on what we just read and find some personal application and some takeaways for today. And so the first thing that we notice is the introduction of John the Baptist and his important call to repentance. And that's our first big rock from our takeaways, is that John's call to repentance should remind us that preparing for Jesus' work in our lives involves this, we have to be sincere, this real sincere examination of our hearts, looking at ourselves and being really real with ourselves, and being able to turn away from sin. And the understanding that we have to have is that this is not a one-time process, a one-time thing that I'm done, I've turned away, and it's... No, this is a continual process that we have to continually align our lives with God's will. Continuing to seek his will and to look in ourselves and to be honest with ourselves. John is being bold, and we should be with ourselves. And so my encouragement, and I think the scripture's encouragement, is that we have to set aside this daily time that we can look at ourselves. Daily is necessary. And just to pray about it, asking God to identify those things, those areas in my life that I need to change. What doesn't need to be here, God? Shine your light on that. Illuminate the darkness in my heart so that I can see the things and be honest with myself to get rid of those things and seek his power and pray for him and his spirit to move and to work them things out. And we all know what those are. And sometimes God has to stomp our toes a bit to open our eyes to see what's in our heart. Repentance is crucial in our way, preparing the way for Jesus to work in our lives. The next thing that we read, the big takeaway, you know, about Jesus' baptism, that is such a model for obedience for us. Jesus was baptized, even though he's sinless. His baptism lays the importance of being obedient to God's commands and makes it clear of how significant baptism is in the life of a believer. Jesus was obedient. He needed to be baptized, even though he was perfect. But Jesus was man and fully God. And Jesus was a perfect model of obedience for us, even if we don't fully understand it. Why would Jesus need to be baptized if he's perfect and already has a home in heaven? You see, even if we don't fully understand it, we are still obedient to what God asks us to do, and Jesus was. So here's a practical application for this, is that if you haven't been baptized, I pray that you consider taking that step of obedience, because that's what baptism is. It's an act of obedience. We are directed to be baptized. That isn't what saves us, but it is an act of obedience. And so, as believers, that should be our heart. Our heart should be directed towards being obedient to what the Father wills. Well, if you have been baptized, on the other hand, reflect on how significant it's been in your life, because that's your public declaration of your faith and your commitment to Christ. You told the world that you believe, and now it's the world knows, right? That's our public declaration. It's great to look back at that and remember that's importance. And the final takeaway today, this I think is identity. Identity and approval in Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus, when he was baptized and rose up from the water, the heavenly voice that came down, it just affirmed Jesus' identity and showed the Father's approval. That moment, I feel, reminds us that our identity and our value come from being children of God. Not from our achievements in the world, not from the recognition that we can earn from our peers, from our co-workers, from our family, from whatever we're striving for to be quote-unquote accepted by the world. No, it is so important that we remind ourselves every day that we are not of this world. We are not of this world. We don't belong here. And so trying to find approval of man is worthless and fruitless. And it will never fill that emptiness that we continue to try to fill. The only thing that can do that is seeking God's approval. And we are approved by God when we believe and accept the truth of the gospel. And so my encouragement to you is that you do that. Remind yourself daily, I am a child of God and not of this world. Father, help me to glorify you and not man. If we can have a heart that glorifies God and stop seeking to glorify man, that will change how you view yourself. And it will totally change and guide your interactions with others, because you will interact and with kindness, with grace, using Jesus as the model and loving other people. That's the result of knowing who you are in Christ. And praise God for that. Hey, as we close today, and I'm already looking forward to Matthew 4. I want to keep going, because we're going to see Jesus tempted in the wilderness, and where we're going to see the testing of Jesus' obedience and his commitment to God's plan, but also we're going to have some amazing insights of how we can face our own temptations, Jesus being the master model for all that we do. Looking forward to it already. Thanks for joining me today. I appreciate you guys more than you know. The encouragement that you've continued to offer me has been beyond what I ever expected. God has taken this podcast and used it for His glory. I'm so grateful. At any rate, may you be blessed. May your family be blessed. And as a result, may we strive to be a blessing to everyone around us. And the best way to do that is to remind yourself that you are a child of the Most High God. Have a great day. Thank you for listening to the New Testament in a Year podcast, where we simply read the Word of God and we try to unpack it so we can find application in our lives, knowing that there is nothing more powerful than God's Word. You see, Scripture is the only source that teaches us who God is and what God wants of us. My encouragement is that the Word of God will bless you and ultimately bless your friends and family. I'll encourage you to share this podcast with your friends, share it on your social media or by word of mouth. Join in, let's read the Word of God together. And through this, may God be glorified through our reading, listening, application, and understanding of His Word together.